Welcome to day 21 of my Everyday Bible with Rita Langland. Today we will be reading Genesis 27 through Genesis 29. We are reading the New American Standard Bible today, and then tomorrow we will start on a new week with the Amplified Translation. But today, the New American Standard and Genesis 27, beginning at verse 1. Now it came about, when Isaac was old, and his eyes were too dim to see, that he called his older son Esau, and said to him, "My son." And he said to him, "Here I am." Isaac said, "Behold now, I am old, and I do not know the day of my death. Now then, please take your gear, your quiver, and your bow, and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare a savory dish for me, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, so that my soul may bless you before I die." Rebekah was listening while Isaac spoke to his son Esau. So when Esau went to the field to hunt for game to bring home, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Behold, I heard your father speak to your brother Esau, saying, 'Bring me some game and prepare a savory dish for me that I may eat and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death.' Now, therefore, my son, listen to me as I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me two choice young goats from there, that I may prepare them as a savory dish for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall bring it to your father that he may eat, so that he may bless you before his death." Jacob answered his mother Rebekah, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I'm a smooth man. Perhaps my father will feel me, then I will be as a deceiver in his sight, and I will bring upon myself a curse and not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go. Get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And his mother made savory food, such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the best garments of Esau, her elder son, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of young goats on his hands and on the smooth part of his neck. She also gave the savory food and the bread, which she had made, to her son Jacob. Then he came to his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am. Who are you, my son?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Get up, please, sit and eat of my game, that you may bless me." Isaac said to his son, "How is it that you have it so quickly, my son?" And he said, "Because the Lord your God caused it to happen to me." Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come close, that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not." So Jacob came close to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him. And he said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he said, "I am." So he said, "Bring it to me, and I will eat of my son's game that I may bless you." And he brought it to him, and he ate. He also brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Please come close and kiss me, my son." So he came close and kissed him, and when he smelled the smell of his garments, he blessed him and said, "See, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Now may God give you of the dew of heaven, and of the fatness of the earth, and an abundance of grain and new wine. May people serve you, and nations bow down to you. Be master of your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be those who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you." Now it came about, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had hardly gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting. Then he also made savory food and brought it to his father. And he said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that you may bless me." Isaac his father said to him, "Who are you?" And he said, I'm your son, your firstborn, Esau. Then Isaac trembled violently and said, Who was he then that hunted game and brought it to me, so that I ate of all of it before you came and blessed him? Yes, and he shall be blessed. When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried out with an exceedingly great and bitter cry and said to his father, Bless me, even me also, O my father. And he said, Your brother came deceitfully and has taken away your blessing. Then he said, Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. And he said, Have you not reserved a blessing for me? But Isaac replied to Esau, Behold, I have made him your master, and all his relatives I have given to him as servants, and with grain and new wine I have sustained him. Now as for you then, what can I do, my son? Esau said to his father, Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father. So Esau lifted his voice and wept. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, away from the fertility of the earth shall be your dwelling, and away from the dew of heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and your brother you shall serve. But it shall come about, when you become restless, that you will break his yoke from your neck. So Esau bore a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing with which his father had blessed him. And Esau said to himself, The days of mourning of my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. Now when the words of her elder son Esau were reported to Rebekah, she sent and called her younger son Jacob and said to him, Behold, your brother Esau is consoling himself concerning you by planning to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice and arise, flee to Haran, to my brother Laban. Stay with him a few days until your brother's fury subsides, till your brother's anger against you subsides and he forgets what you did to him. Then I will send and get you from there. Why should I be bereaved of you both in one day? Rebekah said to Isaac, I am tired of living because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife from the daughters of Heth like these, from the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Chapter 28. So Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father. From there, take yourself a wife from the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may become a company of peoples. May he also give you the blessing of Abraham, to you and to your descendants with you, that you may possess the land of your sojournings, which God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethuel the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he charged him, saying, You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. So Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan displeased his father Isaac. And Esau went to Ishmael and married, besides the wives that he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth. Then Jacob departed from Beersheba and went toward Haran. He came to a certain place and spent the night there because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head and lay down in that place. He had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your descendants. Your descendants will also be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your descendants shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have promised you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven." So Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put under his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on its top. He called the name of that place Bethel. However, previously the name of the city had been Luz. Then Jacob made a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take, and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. This stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." Chapter 29. Then Jacob went on his journey and came to the land of the sons of the east. He looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, three flocks of sheep were lying there beside it, for from that well they watered the flocks. Now the stone on the mouth of the well was large. When all the flocks were gathered there, they would then roll the stone from the mouth of the well and water the sheep, and put the stone back in its place on the mouth of the well. Jacob said to them, "My brothers, where are you from?" And they said, "We are from Haran." He said to them, "Do you know Laban, the son of Nahor?" And they said, "We know him." And he said to them, "Is it well with him?" And they said, "It is well. And here is Rachel, his daughter, coming with the sheep." He said, "Behold, it is still high day. It is not time for the livestock to be gathered. Water the sheep and go, pasture them." But they said, "We cannot until all the flocks are gathered." And they roll the stone from the mouth of the well. Then we water the sheep. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. When Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob went up and rolled the stone from the mouth of the well and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and lifted his voice and wept. Jacob told Rachel that he was a relative of her father and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. So when Laban heard the news of Jacob, his sister's son, he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him and brought him to his house. Then he related to Laban all these things. Laban said to him, "Surely you are bone, my bone and my flesh." And he stayed with him a month. Then Laban said to Jacob, "Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what shall your wages be?" Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the older was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. And Leah's eyes were weak, but Rachel was beautiful of form and face. Now Jacob loved Rachel. So he said, "I will serve you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel." Laban said, "It is better that I give her to you than to give her to another man. Stay with me." So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed to him but a few days because of his love for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my time is completed, that I may go into her." Laban gathered all the men of the place and made a feast. Now in the evening, he took his daughter Leah and brought her to him, and Jacob went into her. Laban also gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came about in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, "What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served with you? Why then have you deceived me?" But Laban said, "It is not the practice in our place to marry off the younger before the firstborn. Complete the week of this one, and we will give you the other one also for the service which you shall serve with me for another 7 years." Jacob did so and completed her week, and he gave him his daughter Rachel as his wife. Laban also gave his maid Bilhah to his daughter Rachel as her maid. So Jacob went into Rachel also, and indeed he loved Rachel more than Leah, and he served with Laban for another 7 years. Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. Leah conceived and bore a son and named him Reuben, for she said, "Because the Lord has seen my affliction, surely now my husband will love me." Then she conceived again and bore a son and said, "Because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, he has therefore given me this son also." So she named him Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, "Now this time my husband will become attached to me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore he was named Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, "This time I will praise the Lord." Therefore she named him Judah. Then she stopped bearing. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's Bible reading, we find a very detailed tale of deception, and then the deceiver ends up getting deceived. We find that when Isaac is very, very old, he was blind, he couldn't see, he was so elderly that probably his hearing was quite not as good as it had been, and he was aware that the time for him to die was very close. So in the tradition of the Jews at that time, of Abraham and Isaac, and then with his sons Jacob, the tradition was that when a person was ready to die, that they were to give their blessing, speak words of prophetic blessing over the next generation. And it was done so that the eldest son was going to be the recipient of the blessing. It's the firstborn's blessing. And we find here that Isaac had 2 sons. They were twins. But because Esau was considered the elder or the firstborn, because he was born first before his brother Jacob, he was going to be the one, or was supposed to be the one, that was to receive the blessing that Isaac was to pass on before he died. But we find that Rebekah, Isaac's wife, mother of Esau and Jacob, was listening while Isaac gave instructions to his elder son Esau to go get him some wild game, prepare it, bring it, let him eat, and then he would give his blessing. So Rebekah hatches a plot. She decides to try, or attempt anyway, to deceive her own husband. She favored Jacob. Isaac favored Esau. It was very clear. We know that in families, favoritism is a very dangerous thing. It isn't right in the sight of God. And yet we see it being played out here in Genesis 27. It creates problems in families. When a parent favors a certain child, gives them all the blessing, shows favoritism, it always is destructive and hurtful. And so it was in this story, because Rebekah clearly favored Jacob, who was the homebody. Esau was the man who loved to go out in the field and hunt, and he was the man of the wilderness, you could say. And Jacob, it said, lived in tents. He was a homebody. He liked to hang around and cook, and Esau liked to go out and hunt. So his father preferred and favored Esau, the hunter, and Rebekah favored Jacob, the homebody, and it was going to create problems for sure. And it did. We see that Rebecca devised a big deception. She knew her husband couldn't see, so he wasn't going to be able to see who it was that came for the blessing. She also knew his hearing wasn't that good. And so she was going to attempt to deceive him and gave her son Jacob instructions on how to come across as if he was Esau and get the blessing that was spoken over him before Isaac died. And the points that I want to bring to your attention from these three chapters is the fact that you reap what you sow. And we find that Jacob here is sowing deception, and he is going to reap being deceived or tricked himself later on in a very harsh way. And when you so deception, when you are deceitful, when you lie, when you don't tell the truth, when you try to make things appear one way and they are really another way, you are sowing seed that will eventually bring a harvest to you, and it always comes back larger than life. It comes back bigger than what you sowed. When you sow one seed, you get a harvest that's bigger than just that one seed. One seed can plant an entire fruit tree, and there's a lot of fruit on one tree. You don't just get one seed back. So the return or the harvest is always larger than whatever is sown. And we find that Jacob reaps a very big harvest of deception that really hurts his life. He sowed seeds of deception that were very hurtful to his brother Esau. Through his deception, he literally stole his blessing from his brother Esau. We know already that Jacob tricked Esau when he was starving. He felt like he was starving. He tricked him into signing over his birthright, meaning the right of the firstborn to inherit. And the firstborn always inherited much more than any of the other children in the family. Sometimes they inherited everything, but in most cases they inherited multiple times what the rest of the children of the same man would receive upon the death of that man. And already Jacob had tricked Esau in a moment of Esau's weakness into swearing and giving to him his birthright. Now, Esau had fault in that as well because he despised his birthright, the scripture says, meaning he didn't value what was precious. His birthright was a precious thing. It was a precious gift in that culture. The birthright was precious because he was firstborn, so he was going to inherit land and possessions. But he signed it away for a simple bowl of stew because he was hungry. In other words, he gave into his flesh what his flesh wanted at the moment, something that was very valuable. Do you know when we give into the flesh, we're surrendering something very valuable in the eyes of the Lord? That's why it's important not to give in to what your flesh wants, but instead to remember what is valuable. Your reputation, your life, your integrity is valuable. Don't give in a moment of weakness like Esau did and surrender what is valuable for something that just satisfies the flesh for a few minutes. That's a danger that we see demonstrated to us through the story of Esau losing his birthright in the previous chapter. But now Jacob is going to make his pain even worse by stealing his blessing as well. So Jacob agreed with his mother Rebecca in pursuing this deception that they were going to play out so that Isaac would bless Jacob instead of his brother Esau. So Rebecca was at fault. Any mother, any parent that would teach a child to be a liar, to be a deceiver, to be a trickster, to try to get something that doesn't belong to them by lying, that parent is, in the eyes of the Lord, most despicable. and it is a despicable practice to teach a child not to have integrity, but to instead to lie to get something for themselves. And we see that happening today. Children learning from the example of their parents that when you want something, you can lie to get it just to please yourself. And that's what Rebecca did here. She encouraged her son to be a liar and a deceiver. Jacob's name already had a very kind of negative meaning. The word Jacob from the original language actually meant supplanter or one who grasps the heel. He was named that because when they were twins, and when his firstborn brother Esau was born, he came out of the womb holding onto his heel. And it was a picture of trying to take his place, trying to supplant, trying to overcome the firstborn. And he did it in life as well. So the name that he got ended up coming to pass. It was very prophetic in a sense. And it ended up happening in his life. He ended up becoming that person, a supplanter or a deceiver. And that wasn't a blessing for him. And in the end, the Lord, he changed Jacob's name, which was good. We'll come upon that later. But here we find Jacob sowing seeds that are going to reap a very bad harvest for him. He goes along with Rebekah's plan to deceive Isaac, his father. He succeeds in that plan. He's a deceiver. He lies. He pretends he's Esau. He gets the blessing by deception. And then he has to flee the area because Esau wants to kill him the minute his father dies. So he's already sown very bad seeds for his life. Well, those seeds may not look like they're going to come up and be anything, but they end up absolutely hurting Jacob later. Because what happens to Jacob? He goes to live with Rebekah's brother Laban. He falls in love with his cousin Rachel. He wants to marry Rachel, and Laban, who is his uncle, deceives him completely. The night of the wedding, they have a big feast, they're drinking, and no doubt he's probably had a lot of wine. And when it comes time for the end of the wedding feast, and he's married now to this woman, and he goes into the chamber with her. And of course, in that time, they veiled themselves so he wouldn't be able to see her. And it's dark, and they don't have light like modern lighting as we did. They just had candles. He didn't realize it wasn't Rachel that Laban had given to him as his wife. Talk about being deceived. He was completely deceived and robbed. He received a harvest for the seed of deception and robbery that he perpetrated against his brother Esau. Jacob reaped it in this situation with Laban, his uncle, and he ends up being robbed of having Rachel given to him in marriage after serving Laban like a slave for 7 years. So talk about being robbed. Jacob finally, you could say, reap what he sowed. He got what he gave to Esau. He deceived and he robbed Esau, and now he was deceived and got robbed. And we know, as in the story, that Laban tells him, well, sorry for that, but it's not our custom to give the first to marry away the younger before the firstborn is married, so you had to marry Leah. And now I'll also give you Rachel as your wife too, but you're going to have to serve me for another 7 years. So he was doubly deceived, doubly robbed. He got robbed of 7 more years of serving or slaving away for Laban, plus he ended up being married to two wives, which was certainly not his intention. So the sad thing in this story is an important example for us that we need to be very aware that in the spiritual principle of sowing and reaping applies not only to money, it applies not only to like a harvest of actual agriculture. You sow corn and you reap corn. It applies to every area of our lives. It applies to what you sow in relationships. It applies to what you sow in how you treat people. It applies to what you sow as far as your work ethic. Are you lazy at work? When the day comes, if you ever own your own company, you're going to reap employees like you were an employee. And I warn people, would you like someone like you working for you in the future? Then you don't want to work like that. You want to sow seeds of diligence and hard work and being faithful and being on time and being productive and being honest in every area. You want to sow good seed to the employer you work for. And then when the day comes, if you own your own business, you're going to reap people like you were, because there is a spiritual principle that operates continuously even when we don't realize it. So the principle, biblical principle of sowing and reaping applies to every area of our lives. So think about that when you go to work today. Think about that when you go to school today. Think about that in your relations with other people, the way you speak to people. Would you like to be spoken to the way you speak to people? Would you like to reap people speaking words of blessing and kindness? Then I encourage you, sow words of blessing and kindness and grace and forgiving people, and not be critical. I see people be critical, and I tell you, they're sowing seeds that will come back to them. It is a spiritual principle that was laid down in Genesis when the Lord said, as long as the earth remains, that seed time and harvest will remain. And so it's a principle that God himself ordained and established. Seed time and harvest. What kind of seeds are you sowing in your life? Don't let them be like Jacob's seeds, because what he reaped was very, very undesirable. God wants you to sow seeds of blessing everywhere you go, that he might be able to bring you a harvest of blessing in your life. Have a great week.